In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today, my beloved, is the second week of the blessed month of Beba, and the Church chose for us the passage of the calling of Saint Peter and three other disciples to become disciples of the Lord. And the passage opens by the four of them. They went fishing, caught nothing all night, and they came back to shore. And then they met the Lord there on the shore, and he asked to use St. Peter's boat to preach from. So the Lord stood on the boat, and the people were standing on the shore because there were a multitude of people, and he preached to them. And after he finished preaching, he asked St. Peter to launch out into the deep for a catch. And mind you, Christ's occupation or his trade that he was trained on was like his father Joseph. He was a carpenter. Right, he wasn't a fisherman. He didn't know anything supposedly about fishing. And he told him, launch out into the deep so that you can catch fish. And just on a side note, the beautiful thing, look here about what St. Peter did. He didn't embarrass the Lord at all. Like he told him, launch out into the deep. He didn't tell him, you know, if you want to catch fish with a net, you don't usually go out in the deep. You need a fishing pole for that. He didn't say anything like this. But all he said was, we toiled all night and we caught nothing. But he was very respectful and very, you know, kind hearted person. And then we find that they launch out into the deep and he cast the net in obedience to the Lord and they caught an abundance of fish. And when they caught this abundance of fish, you'll find kind of the narrative kind of shifts from the fish to St. Peter. It's almost like the camera shifts now and focuses on St. Peter. And rather than being preoccupied with the fish that he caught and how this is going to be a good source of income for his family, he turns to the Lord and he said to it, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. So in the face of a holy man, of course he didn't know that he was God at the time, but in the face of a holy man that was able to do this kind of miracle, it led him to judge himself. He looked in comparison to this man, I am a sinful man. So he knelt before him and told him, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. So after judging himself, his life changed. So after he said this phrase, the Lord said to him, okay, I want you to now follow me, for you will no longer be a fisherman, but I will make you a fisher of men. So rather than just fishing fish, he's going to fish men and be one of his disciples. All of this changed when he judged himself. St. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, he says, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. If we judge ourselves, we will not be judged by God. So I want to speak this time, and God willing, the next time, about judging oneself. So today we'll speak about the dangers of not judging oneself. What happens when I don't judge myself? And then next time, God willing, we'll speak about how to judge one's self. The first danger, if we don't judge ourselves, is what is called the development of blind spots. Development of blind spots. And a blind spot is an area in your vision that you cannot see. So maybe if you have like some problem with your eye and you have like little floaties and things like that, you can develop blind spots where you just see floaties and you can't see there. It's a blur in this area, right? Can also, when we're driving, we have a blind spot, right? If we use the mirrors, we have a blind spot which we can't usually see, right? So these are parts in our vision that are blind to us and therefore it's a danger. Right? If I don't see my blind spot, they tell us, watch your blind spot, because it's a danger. If somebody's there and you start shifting lanes, you can hit, you know, the person next to you and get into an accident. So these blind spots are very dangerous if we don't see them. And again, if we have a blind spot in front of us, it's also very dangerous if we walk or playing or doing anything else. So the same thing, if there's a blind spot in my spiritual life, it can be dangerous for me and also for the people who are around me. And if I live with a blind spot, I can be led astray and the people around me can be led astray and I can begin to believe lies that aren't true. For example, if we look at the passage in 1 Kings 22, it's a story of King Ahab, who was one of the worst kings, if not the worst king, and the history of Judah, and he surrounded himself to get counsel from prophets, and he surrounded himself by 400 prophets. And what these prophets did was just simply tell him, yes, man, whatever you say is amen. So this is a time he wanted to go to war against Ramoth-Gilead. So he says, okay, let me ask these prophets if I should go to war. Am I going to win or am I not going to win? He goes to them. They say, yes, man, you're going to win. Go for it. But in order to go against Ramoth-Gilead, he needs a little help. So he went to Jehoshaphat, which is at this time the kingdom of Israel was split north and south. So he went to Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Israel, and he tells him, you know, I want you to come with me to fight this battle. And he said, okay, did you inquire of the Lord? And he said, well, I inquired of 400 prophets, and they all said, go ahead. So he looked at this scenario, and he said, this sounds a little bit fishy here, right? All 400 of them said yes right away. And he knew this wasn't real. So he asks him, and he tells him what? Is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? So he got it. He says, all of these are a bunch of liars. They all just say whatever the king wants him to say. And in response, Ahab says, well, there is another prophet. His name is Micaiah, but I don't like him. Why don't you like him? Because he doesn't tell me what I want to hear. Well, and he's like, he's the one I want to hear. And of course, he goes there and he warns him and tells him not to go, but he insists. So finally, he just says, do whatever you want to do. What we find here is this self-affirmation, the self-affirmation. King Ahab just wanted somebody to tell him, yes, do whatever you want. Affirm whatever it is that you believe. Self-affirmation will blind us when we only seek voices that agree with our own. I will never hear another side of things if the only people that I want to hear are the people that tell me yes. A similar thing happened to David, King David. Of course, we know the story of him and Bathsheba when he was supposed to be at war, and he ended up going to his housetop, and he saw her, and he lusted, and he committed adultery, and so on. And to cover up his mistake, he killed her husband Uriah in battle. And this whole story happened, and he lived normally. And then between this time and between the point in which Nathan the prophet came to rebuke him, we hear nothing about him calling to God. He doesn't pray during this time. Do we know about how long this period was in which he was absent from God and he never spoke with him? The Bible doesn't specifically say exactly when, but we know something came of this relationship. They had a child from this unfaithful relationship, and the child was born, right? Because part of his consequence was the child would die. So we know this at least was a year. So a year happened, and all of everything he did, from taking another man's wife and killing the man and living this lie for a whole year, never crossed his mind. It was a blind spot in his life. It was the dark point in David's life. And only when he was confronted with his sin by Nathan the prophet that he eventually then judged himself, and then he coined for us Psalm 50 that we pray in the Agbeya. Right, have mercy upon me, O Lord. So he repented, and it was a faithful and right repentance. But his delay in judging himself had consequences not only for himself, but also for his family and those who are around him. Of course, this would be a point in his life that he would regret, and the child that he had from this unfaithful relationship was taken away. So developing these blind spots when I want people just to affirm what I believe and that's it. And nowadays we have, with technology, self-affirming technology, right? Anybody ever heard of AI and ChatGPT and all these things? If you ever ask these things, very rarely, if ever, does it ever disagree with you, right? It will always affirm what you believe. If you tell them I'm a Christian and I believe this, they'll affirm it. If you say somebody's bothering me and I don't feel that this was right, they'll say, yes, it wasn't right, and it'll just affirm you, right? And there's many different platforms this has happened. And I watched something a couple weeks ago. There was a Senate hearing about these chatbots, and they said something staggering that I didn't realize. But they said 3 out of every 4 youth that have a phone interacted with these chatbots. And it's not just, we might think AI is just something like where I ask for information, ask it to do a task for me, and okay, this is useful. But it's also, the idea is to have a chat, a dialogue with it, as if it can be a companion. And this is very dangerous, because if you have a companion, and again, their point is to make money off you. Will they make money off you with disagreeing with you? No, they make money off you the longer they keep you using this chatbot, and the longer you stay on is if it tells you yes, what you believe is right. And in the Senate hearing, it convinced several young people to commit suicide, right? And it affirmed them. Again, it's very dangerous. So we seek after entities, devices, or people who simply just self-affirm us. It's very dangerous for us. So the first danger of not judging oneself is developing these blind spots in our life. The second is the rationalization of disobedience. I begin to rationalize to myself my disobedience. This story, this example I use is from one of the stories of King Saul, who was the first king of Israel. God had commanded him to go to the Amalekites and to destroy them, utterly destroy them, and all of their possessions, don't take anything. Burn it all. Okay, want to start new. So he goes and he conquers, with the help of God, he conquers the Amalekites, and he finds that they have many useful things. They have many animals, right? Among them are sheep. Many gold and silver and all of the precious things that he found there, and food and so on. He found all of these useful things, and he says, Khusara, why waste all of this stuff? Why don't I take it and make use of these things? So rather than judging his actions, he finally, when he was confronted by Samuel the prophet, and said, what is this that I hear? I hear the bleeding of the sheep. Didn't God tell you to get rid of everything? And he said, well, yes, I kept them because I was going to use them to sacrifice to God. Ya ragil, beget? All right. No, he wasn't going to do that. He saw this as being a benefit to him, and he wanted to use it, but he used this as an excuse. He excused his disobedience, or he rationalized his disobedience. Again, when we don't judge ourselves, we begin to rationalize sin in our life. this happens maybe to some of us often. For example, we might rationalize not tithing. Not tithing is a sin. And we might say, what? I'll use this money that I was going to give to the church to give to the needs of my family. Doesn't God want us to take care of our family? We rationalize it. When we gossip and speak about one another, we might say, it's not a big deal. Everybody's doing it. I'm just venting. And we say, but this is actually gossiping. When we do something wrong and we shift the blame onto somebody else, we say to ourselves, what? I'm too busy with work and with life. God understands my situation. It wasn't me, it was so-and-so. Or maybe if somebody lives with a partner who they're not married to, they might say, what? God is love. He wants us to have good, committed, loving relationship. So because it's committed, everything is fine. Again, it's rationalizing sin to myself. If I do not judge myself, then I will be in danger of rationalizing my disobedience. And there was nobody, whether king or slave, in the whole course of the Bible, that God gave them the liberty to disobey, and it was fine, right? He held accountable the king as he did the servant. Nobody was, was excluded from the commandments of God. Nor should we think we are too, because of who we are. The third danger of not judging oneself is the paralysis of our spiritual growth. My spiritual growth will become paralyzed. If you remember the story of the rich young ruler who came to the Lord, he looked at himself and he thought he was good. He knew the commandments and he abided by them. So he came to the Lord and said, what is it that I can do, or what needs to be done to inherit eternal life? And in his mind, he thinks he's got it. So the Lord tells him, the commandments. Of your enemies, bless those. And I told him a bunch of commandments, right, from the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments. And he said to him, what? I know these and I've done them from my youth. Then Jesus, it says, looked at him and he said to him, one thing you lack, go your way. Sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. So according to his standards, he thought he was keeping all of the commandments. He didn't think he missed any of them. He got the Ten Commandments, he abided by them by his youth, and that's all he thought. So he came to challenge the Lord, and the Lord said, you know what, there's something else that you're missing. You're missing this ability to sacrifice what you have. You have a love of your possessions. Get rid of these, and then come take up the cross and follow after me. And it says that he went away sorrowful. He went away sorrowful. So he didn't judge himself at this point. Had he taken a moment maybe to judge himself and say, wait, you know what? I did the commandments, but he's right. There's something else. Maybe I need to handle this. Somebody else did this. Zacchaeus did this very thing. When he met the Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus didn't even tell him to go sell his things. He did it automatically. He gave half to the poor, and then he restored what he took from others fourfold. Right? So this was the natural repentance. So we see the rich young ruler on one hand, he comes before the Lord, and he doesn't judge himself, and he's paralyzed in his spiritual growth. He's not growing any further than this. Then we see somebody who's Zacchaeus, who's probably worse off than the rich young ruler. He was also rich, a chief tax collector. But when he came in front of the Lord, he judged himself. And then it says, salvation has come to this household, is what he told Zacchaeus. Once we stop judging ourselves against the commandments of God, which we ought to do continually, we will think that we are good. We're good. I've met all the commandments, so I have my ticket to heaven. Now I can just live my life. As soon as we think that we are good, this is the beginning of our fall. This is what Proverbs tells us. He says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. A haughty spirit before a fall. There's also the example of the church of the Laodiceans in the old, the time of the Revelations when St. John was writing. The Lord was rebuking this church, and he told them, they thought that, again, they were good. So the Lord told them, because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy, I have no need of anything, and do you not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked? Again, they thought themselves that they were good. They thought they were healthy and wealthy and have need of nothing. But he told them, you're all miserable and blind, poor, and naked. Again, if we don't judge ourselves, we fall in danger of the paralysis on our spiritual growth. We won't grow. We'll stay the same from now until we eventually judge ourselves. The fourth danger of not judging oneself is having overconfidence in oneself or maybe living in a delusion. And I'll use the example here of Samson. Samson, you know, had this feelings for Delilah, and he thought that this was good. His parents warned him, she's not of our people, stay away from her. But he said, you know what, I got this. I'm Samson. I'm stronger than more than 10 men. I can take on a whole army on my own. I got this, right? So he went, and he attached himself to Delilah. She asked for him of the source of his strength. And he lies 3 times. And he says, this is it. And then she brings the enemies in. They try to capture him, and he frees himself. You would think after the first time, second time, okay, for your benefit. But he continues to go with her until he finally tells her the truth, that my secret is in my hair. If you cut my hair, I lose my strength. And lo and behold, she goes, tells his enemies, they cut his hair, and then they capture him. So his delusion of being able to flirt with sin to what led to him, his eyes being poked out, him being captured, right? And him now, he's grinding like the mill as if he was a slave. He was an animal, right? All of this why? Because of the delusion of I can flirt with sin and not be burned. The book of Proverbs tells us who can take fire in his bosom and not be burned. We can't flirt with sin and expect to be unharmed. That's very foolish. So if I don't judge myself, I can very easily fall into this delusion or this overconfidence in my sin. There are many ways in which we flirt with sin, thinking that we have confidence. I can say to myself, you know what, I can watch something inappropriate online or on a show, and it won't affect me. I'm an adult. And by the way, this like categorization of things of adult content and children, who said that watching inappropriate things was okay for an adult, right? No, the sin is sin, whether it's for a child or for an adult, right? So if I'm an adult, I should still watch things that are for kids, because adult things, they're telling me what that they are bad, they're sinful, right? So be careful of these kind of, you know, denotations by the media. I can also say, you know what, I can hang out with people who go to bad places and do wrong things and it won't affect me. I'll stand there, everybody else is smoking or drinking, and I'll be there and I won't be affected. Of course you will, right? Do you know what it says about Lot living in Sodom and Gomorrah? Actually, the Bible says of Lot that he was a righteous man. But where did he live? He lived in the middle of Sodom and Gomorrah. And what does St. Peter tell us about Lot? He says, for that righteous man, Lot, dwelling among them, tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. So him just being there and seeing them, it tormented his soul. We might think, our body might think this is fun and we're having a good time, but our soul is saying what? I'm being tormented. I'm being tormented. And if only our soul can get a hold of our will and to get us out of there. That would be the ideal situation. Ignoring the ripple effects of sins. Like, I can be angry and my anger is my problem and nobody else's problem. Again, all of these things we say, we flirt with sin, thinking that there'll be no consequences of them. And all of this begins by not judging oneself. If I don't judge myself, then I can live in this delusion or overconfidence that I can flirt with sin and not be touched or affected. Lastly, is when I, last danger of not judging oneself is that I will be unprepared for eternity. I'll be unprepared for the time where I will meet the Lord, whether when he comes or when I go to him. If you look in the parable of the rich fool, and this was the parable of the man who had a lot of possessions and his barn was full. And he thought to himself, you know what? My barn is full. What am I going to do? I have no more places to store. Let me destroy this one and build a bigger barn. And when I build a bigger barn, I'll fill it up and then I'll retire and I'll do nothing. And I'll just sit here and enjoy my life. So what does it say? This is in Luke 12. It says, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. So you filled up everything. I've made millions of dollars now, and now I can retire at the age of 45 because I've made this money. Now what? Then it says to him, but God said, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. But I just finished storing all of the things, you know, in my barn or in my bank. But he said, today your soul will be required of you. So what good is the stuff you stored up in the barn or in the bank if my soul is required today? It does us no good, right? It does us no good. If we do not judge ourselves, we will be unprepared for eternal life. Because if we do not judge ourselves, God will judge us, as we said in the very beginning. As St. Paul told us, if we judge ourselves, God will not judge us. Also in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, St. Paul says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. So look at yourself, judge yourself. Am I really in the faith? Am I living as Christ wants me to live? Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? So St. Paul warns us, if we do not judge ourselves or test ourselves, we risk being disqualified when God tests us. And I'll leave you with the last example of the 10 virgins, right? It was time for them to meet the bridegroom. There were 5 wise and 5 foolish. The 5 foolish didn't have oil in their lamps. They were virgins, and they had the lamp, but they just didn't have the oil. So when they felt it was close to time, they said, okay, we need oil. Let's go get our own oil. And as soon as they left, the bridegroom came, the 5 faithful virgins entered, and the door was shut. And they said, they knocked on the door. And he said, I never knew you. I never knew you. Right? So again, when we fail to judge ourselves, we are unprepared for the time in which we will meet the Lord. So if we review them very quickly, we said if we don't judge ourselves, we can develop blind spots. And we can rationalize disobedience. We paralyze ourselves and our spiritual growth. We perhaps become overconfident and we think we can flirt with sin. And not be touched. And lastly, we'll be unprepared for eternity. God willing, next time we'll speak about, okay, how does one go about judging oneself? To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.